Well, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're looking at these opening verses this morning in Matthew chapter 6. And if you're here as a visitor, we're in Matthew chapter 6 because we're going to go through Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, which are Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, as it's called. These words of the Lord Jesus as he teaches the righteousness of the kingdom of God, how you enter God's kingdom and how you live in God's kingdom. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus mainly contrasts his right understanding of the law of God with the Pharisees' misinterpretation of the law of God. But as we move into chapter 6, the focus of the Lord Jesus turns now from the wrong teaching of the Pharisees to the wrong practice of the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus has said that the Pharisees had misunderstood the word of God. Now he looks at how that misunderstanding of the word of God was working itself out in their experience. And the Lord is particularly concerned that we be on the guard against the self-deception that characterized the Pharisees, that we don't deceive ourselves. And there are three particular exercises of faith that we find described in verses 1 to 18. Giving, praying, fasting. And in each of those areas, Jesus is saying to the disciples that the Lord is not concerned just about outward activity, but about the heart. The Lord Jesus is very concerned not only that the disciples do what is right, but that they do it out of a right motivation. The Lord Jesus is warning against giving a false religious appearance to the world that is not matched by an inward experience of the heart. He's saying these acts, giving, praying, fasting, should flow from hearts that are thankful to God and are motivated then from the heart to do the right thing for the right reason. So as a result, these words of the Lord Jesus Christ have particular application to people like us this morning, religious people, people who attend a church. The Lord Jesus knows it is possible to be self-deceived. For people to have religious activity, but not have a heart that's right before God. It's possible to be deceived this morning into thinking that you have a right relationship with God, whereas in fact you do not. So we find the Lord Jesus here giving a warning and then speaking about a proper motive, particularly in the area of giving to the work of God, which is what we look at this morning. Real righteousness, the righteousness that God implants in your heart by the work of the Holy Spirit, will express itself in your life. But that means not just going through external, outward exercises that look right, but a righteousness that flows from a changed heart, a new heart, a new center of your being where God has come in and worked a work of mighty transformation, where now you are trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, King, and seeking to live for him in every part of life. This morning, in verses 1 to 4, there are three truths that the Lord Jesus teaches about giving to the work of God. Maybe this is the first time I've preached about this subject since I've been at the church here, but it's a very important area. The first thing the Lord Jesus says is the true believer must be on guard against hypocrisy. The true believer must be on guard against hypocrisy. Verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, to some extent, giving to the poor in Jesus' day was not necessarily a problem. In Jesus' day, people were taxed. Part of the money that was taken in taxes was given for the relief of the poor. There were no government agencies. It was all done through the synagogue. But then over and above what people paid in taxes, there were offerings, freewill offerings. And what the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned about is that those offerings could be done out of wrong motives. The law of God commanded that the people of God care for the poor through offerings. The prophets of the Old Testament had preached that the people of God should be concerned about the kingdom of God and the poor. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in the gospel spoke to his disciples about this. But here now Jesus deals with the wrong motive of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were giving. But they were giving in order to receive the applause of men. They were giving to receive the approval of men. They were giving because it was part of a good PR exercise. It may be you fear sometimes that even with in the government realm, politicians sometimes do these things because of public relations rather than for the cause of righteousness. And people see through that. And the Lord Jesus saw through the sort of activity that was going on amongst the Pharisees, and he brings a warning. He says, don't be taken in by the type of righteousness that appears right, but is not true righteousness at all. It's giving to receive the applause of men and women. So notice what the Lord Jesus says in the first part of the verse. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. The kind of righteousness that the Lord once cultivated in his people is not the righteousness that seeks approval from others. This is a righteousness that cares about what God thinks. And it's not a righteousness that is looking for the applause of others around. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven, he says. Now notice he says, not that they'll receive a reduced reward, but that they will receive no reward. Why? Because they are strangers to the grace of God. They are not in a saving relationship to God. If they were truly the people of God, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, they would not be trying to manipulate God by their giving or seeking the approval of others. They would be willing to be who they are before God. Their hypocrisy is an indication they do not really know God. They want to manipulate him somehow. And they're concerned what other people think. Putting on a good show. Receive the applause of men. They're not truly the people of God. They have no reward from your Father in heaven, he's saying. So here's a great danger Jesus speaks of in the religious life. The danger of pretending to be a Christian. The danger of putting on a good show before other people, wanting to look good, not inviting criticism from others, but it's just an outward show. And once you develop that sort of mindset, says Jesus, you can slip into hypocrisy very easily. That's a perennial problem for every one of us and for the Church of Jesus Christ. The word hypocrite in the Bible comes from a word which has to do with being an actor. Someone who acts out a part. Who's expected to act as someone else. Now when that is transposed from the stage to real life, it becomes a big, big problem. Those who put on an act in their day-to-day life, in their religious act, with their family, with their friends, in a congregation, That is a very dangerous self-deception. So Jesus here is criticizing two-faced spirituality, the fake spirituality of the Pharisees. He's saying their religion is not genuine, but it's the religion of an actor. The religious activities they're giving was done for the sake of impressing men and women, not for the sake of glorifying God. So when it comes to giving in the Church of Jesus Christ, and an offering is taken up, the people of God ask, why are we giving? Are we giving to be recognized by others? Are we giving somehow thinking we can put God into our debt? Are we giving because somehow we think we can manipulate God? If I give this to God, God will give something much more back to me, therefore I'll give. Or are we giving out of love for God? A love, thankfulness that has been planted in your heart by the work of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's the mark of genuine Christianity, Jesus Christ is saying. Does our giving bear that mark of genuine Christianity? Is it generous or is it stingy? Is it cheerful or is it grudging? Is it motivated by a love for God? The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit? Or is it motivated out of a wrong motive to be seen by others or to try and manipulate God? We need to ask ourselves and remember Jesus' warning against hypocrisy. The true believer, Jesus says, will be on guard against hypocrisy. Just putting on a show. Secondly, the true believer must cultivate genuine spirituality in giving. We learn this in verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. Now, notice there, the Lord Jesus Christ does not say, therefore, if you do a charitable deed. He doesn't say that. He says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed. So the Lord Jesus is saying here, in giving, praying, fasting, not if you give, if you pray, if you fast, but when you give, when you pray, when you fast. So the question is not whether a disciple gives or doesn't give. That is not an option that the Lord Jesus Christ caters for. So the Lord Jesus Christ should not be misunderstood. He's not saying that the Pharisees were wrong to give. He's saying they were wrong because they were giving out of a wrong motive. So people who say, oh, just give to God if you feel like it. Give to God as the Spirit moves you. Don't structure giving. Don't set aside money. Don't set aside the Lord's money. You don't need to worry about that. Just give when you feel like it. No, the Lord Jesus Christ says. He doesn't say when. He doesn't say if you give. He says when you give. And he's saying when you give, make sure you give for the right reason. So nowhere in the Sermon on the Mount does Jesus say don't do acts of righteousness. What he says is, when you do acts of righteousness, make sure you do them for the right motive. And the Lord Jesus has already said that some acts of righteousness in his kingdom will be before the eyes of others. In chapter 5, verse 16, the Lord Jesus has already said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The Lord Jesus knows if you live in a godly way before the world, there will be people who will see what it means to live as a Christian. But the motive is not to get praise from the world. The motive is not to be seen and praised by others. The Lord Jesus here is dealing with motives. He's dealing with the heart. He's saying why you do this is very significant. So giving, the Lord Jesus knows, will call for sacrifice. It would call for self-denial. It would call for self-discipline. He assumes that his disciples will give in a regular, structured way, and by that show their thankfulness to God and their and mastery over sinful patterns in their life. And he knows that will require effort. That doesn't just come naturally. It doesn't come naturally to mortify the flesh. That is a work of God, the Spirit. But the Lord Jesus knows in this area, as along with all the other areas we've looked at, this will be an area of growing spirituality, holiness for the people of God. And the motive then, says Jesus, is not to receive praise from others, but out of thankfulness and love to God. So we ask ourselves about our giving here at Kensett Evangelical Church. Do we give generously? Do we give joyfully? Do we give sacrificially? Do we give out of love for God? Maybe we have not touched the surface of our giving. One of the great dreams and prayers of mine is that as the people of God give, as they ought, there is a vision to build up the church, reach out to the lost, have an evangelist, have others who can help and get involved in the work of Jesus Christ. Not to be concerned about meeting a budget, but to have many opportunities to do more as more and more money comes in that we can reach out with the gospel. There are lost men and women, aren't there? Boys and girls, all around us in London. As we give to the work of mission in other parts of the world and to areas of need and concern. A church like this, rich in resources, has been very generous in the past. But we can do much more. We can pray that God the Holy Spirit will move in our hearts and lives to be generous and thankful and cheerful in giving to the work of God. That will mean there'll be an increase beyond anything we've experienced before. Giving to glorify God. Giving to enjoy Him forever. So the true believer must be on guard against hypocrisy. Secondly, the true believer must cultivate genuine spirituality. Thirdly, the true believer must be motivated in giving to praise a Heavenly Father. Whose praise? Who do you want to please as you give? The Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. You have a Heavenly Father. But when you do a charitable deed, he says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Your spiritual state is reflected, says Jesus, in the practice of giving to the work of the kingdom of God. C.H. Spurgeon used to say that Christianity is a personal religion. Personal. The Lord Jesus Christ then says, you forget about others, their opinion. You even forget about yourself. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now that's an interesting picture, isn't it? The Lord Jesus is saying an offering bag like these bags is passed around in a congregation. And your right hand unobtrusively drops money or whatever it is, check or whatever it is, into a bag. The left hand on the other side, even your left hand can't see what your right hand is doing. In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying, don't even give self-consciously. Don't pat yourself on the back as you give. See, the Lord Jesus is guarding here against two types of hypocrisy. There is the hypocrisy of the person who gives, who wants to be praised by other people. Oh, look how generous that person is. But there's another type of hypocrisy, which is self-praise. When you say, what a good fellow I am. And I pat myself on the back in giving to the work of God. do it and feel good about myself. What a good person I am. Perhaps even that God owes me something because of what I've given. And the Lord Jesus is saying, seek the favor of God. Seek the reward of God. Seek the pleasure of God, not your own pleasure even. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. The Lord Jesus has really diagnosed here the problem of the Pharisees. Their problem that they think religiously they can work their way into fellowship with God. They can earn salvation somehow. They can earn God's favor. They can manipulate God. Even by performing religious duties, God owes them something. The Lord Jesus says, the person who thinks like that doesn't understand his or her own heart, doesn't understand the gospel. The fundamental problem of the hypocrite is that person doesn't know really a heavenly Father. The saving grace, the forgiveness of sin, peace with God of a heavenly Father. From verse 1 to verse 18, here the Lord Jesus in 18 verses uses the word Father no less than 10 times. What is the great deficiency in the religion of the Pharisees? They don't know God as Heavenly Father. They suspect perhaps that God will defraud them in life out of what is good or pleasant or enjoyable, deprive them of many things that they want. They don't know God as their Heavenly Father. You remember when you give, says Jesus Christ, you're giving and you're seeking to glorify your Heavenly Father. This Heavenly Father loves you and cares about you more than you can ever imagine. In the light of the fact that the one who we give to and his kingdom is our Heavenly Father, that motivates and that structures how the Christian gives. The hypocrite is insecure before God. Does know God as Heavenly Father. Seeks therefore to get praise for being religious or seeks to manipulate God somehow. Seeking to get religious security by appearing to be religious. But that's unreal, says Jesus. That's a fake relationship. The real relationship with a Heavenly Father through grace, by faith in Jesus Christ, is a personal, intimate, real relationship, which means you don't have to put on a front and a fake show. Now, that problem can still linger even with true believers. What is the reward of a Heavenly Father to the secret giver? Well, it is the reward that genuine love wants when giving to the work of God. To see God honored, God glorified. Yes, to see the kingdom of God advanced, the lost reached, the sick healed, the poor benefited, the oppressed freed. But it's the motive is all about a Heavenly Father. So giving in this way to the work of God brings its own joys and desires from God, and it doesn't seek any other reward. So the Lord Jesus is saying, when you give, you're not giving before men and women, waiting for the clapping to begin. You don't even give in such a way that your left hand knows what your right hand is doing. You don't even clap yourself. Our giving is before God. God sees the secrets of the heart. And God rewards the people of God with that discovery that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of when Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So as God works what we read here out in our hearts, in the work of God, that the people of God give generously, cheerfully, sacrificially. Many Christians use the principle of a tithe from the Old Testament, a tenth, and they give a tenth of their income to God. Some give more than that. But giving generously, cheerfully, sacrificially, giving to the cause of God, that brings with it, says Jesus, your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Now, I don't think that means necessarily present or future. It's to do with the fact that there is a thanksgiving to God that is part of Christian giving, which involves walking in the light of who God is and what he has done for us. You know how Frances Ridley Havergal in a hymn, we're going to sing it in a moment, speaks of it when she says, take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. A mite is, I don't know, it's about a thousandth of a pound today. It's a tiny, tiny coin, a mite. Take myself, she says, and I will be ever, always, all for thee. It's that sort of walk before God. And if you don't know God as your Heavenly Father this morning, you can cry out to him. You can call on him. You can come to him through Jesus Christ, turning to God, praying for forgiveness and new life and peace. You can know God as your Heavenly Father. And if you don't know God as your Father this morning, this Father in heaven, who Jesus speaks about here, then speak to me. Speak to one of the elders in the church. Talk to a believer. How can you come into a saving relationship with God so that you can know God in this real way as your Heavenly Father? You can know him through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior who gave, what did Jesus give? He gave his life for us. I'm always challenged by what C.T. Studd when he said, if Jesus Christ is God and he died for me, then no sacrifice I make for him can be too great. Let's pray together. Let's all pray. Lord, we praise you. We thank you this morning for the Savior, Jesus Christ. Through him, we enter into a new relationship with God, God as our Heavenly Father. And we pray, Lord, that in this particular area that we've been challenged by this morning, in the area of giving to the work of God, we pray, Lord, that you will help us. Giving generously, sacrificially, cheerfully to the work of God, seeking not the applause of men, nor applauding ourselves, but seeking to glorify God, live for him, honoring him in such a way, Lord, that the kingdom of God might advance and that God may receive all the glory. So, Lord, help us. We thank you that as we come this morning, we have no merit of our own. We freely acknowledge afresh we cannot buy our way into the kingdom of God. So in no way does our giving earn for us a place in heaven. But because of what Jesus Christ has done through his sacrifice for us, we come in his name through his merits. And we pray that you'll teach us more and more what it means to live for Christ. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to sing that closing hymn of Frances Ridley Havergal's together, 830. Take my life, she says, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. 830, and we'll stand to sing. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all the people of God, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.